And I know we sometimes get these holidays confused, so it's called Memorial Day because we're remembering those who gave their lives in service to this country. It was first celebrated in May the 5th, 1868. Now, it didn't become a national holiday, I think, until like 1970. But we're remembering today and are grateful for everyone who gave the ultimate sacrifice. They allowed us to keep our freedom. And so we honor them today. So I want to talk to you today about a transaction. Now, a transaction is when you give something and you get something back. That's a transaction. There's two parts to it. You give and you get. And today I want us to look at a divine transaction. And it's one that bought you and I freedom. So Memorial Day, that got us freedom as a nation. What we're going to look at today is the transaction that bought us freedom and salvation. So just a real quick example of a transaction is if I pull into a roadside stand, I give them a $10 bill. Well, nowadays what I might get back for a $10 bill is a box of strawberries and two tomatoes. You know, at one time for $10 you could get a whole bag full of stuff. But I made a transaction, right? So whenever we make a transaction, we're hoping that both parties feel like they made out pretty well. But sometimes in a transaction, one party feels like they were taken advantage of, or that they didn't really come out of the transaction so well. And transactions don't always involve finance. So I want to tell you a story. You probably remember the story. But we're going to just rehearse it again. This is in Genesis 29. And this is the story about Jacob. So Jacob was to the age that he was ready to get married. And he had just done something not so great with his father and his brother. And so he wanted to leave anyway. So mom and dad said, hey, why don't you go to our relatives? Because everybody who lives around us are Canaanites. And we don't want you marrying a Canaanite. We want you to marry an Israeli. So why don't you go to your relative, you know, down in Harrisburg and find a wife there? So he goes down and he sees Rachel at a divine appointment. And then he goes to Uncle Laban's house. Uncle Laban says, hey, you're my relative, greetings, okay? And you're thinking everything's great with Uncle Laban. We find out not so much. So he says to Uncle Laban, what would I need to do to have permission to marry your daughter Rachel? So back then you gave a dowry. So what you did is if you wanted to marry somebody's daughter, you went to them and you said, okay, this is what I'm going to offer so that you will allow me to marry your wife. See, I missed out three times. I didn't do that for any of my three daughters. Maybe I should have. But that's what they did back then. And we find out Uncle Laban is pretty sly. He says, well, here's what you're going to do. If you want to marry my daughter, you're going to work for me for 7 years. 7 years. Come on. See, look what I could have got out of the deal. So 7 years, you need to keep my sheep. He was a shepherd. And then that's how you're going to pay me back for the privilege of marrying my daughter. So he goes, okay, I really want to marry your daughter. I'll do that. So what do you young guys think about that idea? Yeah. But it gets even more exciting than that. It isn't on. It sounded like it was on.
Thank you. So we missed that whole part on the tape. Well, I apologize. So here we are with Jacob and Uncle Laban, and he's agreed to work 7 years for Rachel, or so he thinks. So it's time for them to consummate the marriage. So you know what that means, right? And they lived in tents, and they didn't have pole lights. They didn't have flashlights with ever-ready batteries, so it was dark. And he's expecting Uncle Laban to send the daughter that he just agreed to work for 7 years for to his tent that night. So a lady comes in, they do what they do, and he wakes up in the morning, and he rolls over and he goes, oh! It was her sister. So he goes out of the tent, Uncle Laban, we have a little problem here. And Uncle Laban, sly as he is and deceitful, he says, well, you know the custom. We don't marry the younger daughter out first. You have to let the older daughter marry first. He goes, really? You know, you couldn't have told me this before now, right? So he says, so now what? He says, oh, now you can work for me 7 more years for that daughter, which he does. So that was the transaction. I'm not sure who thought they got the best out of the deal and not the best out of the deal. It wasn't quite what he thought or he planned, but he did end up with 2 wives out of the deal, huh? Back then, that was okay. What Jesus did for us, however, he did freely. We didn't have to pay any of the cost. Come on. We didn't have to work 7 years. We didn't have to pull out our bank account and buy. Jesus paid it all. Romans 6. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. That meant what we should have gotten out of the transaction, out of living our own way, out of doing things that displeased him, was death. Instead, we got the whole opposite. Because of what Jesus did, we got life. I like that transaction. How about you? Like that transaction. So there's a Daryl Evans song. It's by Integrity, so that means we're talking back in the 80s and the 90s. Yep, I'm that old. I'm even older than that. And the words go, I'm trading my sorrow, I'm trading my shame, I'm laying it down, and what I'm picking up is the joy of the Lord. See, I like those kind of transactions. I'm trading my sickness, I'm trading my pain, I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. So that's how it is with the Lord. He likes to make those kind of transactions, and he never feels cheated. He'll take all the bad stuff and give us all the good stuff. Come on, how about that, Jack?
Yes, I'll take it every time.
Absolutely, absolutely. So when we're looking at transactions and getting things in exchange and making a trade, sometimes we make wise choices, sometimes not so wise. Romans 1:25 says, they exchanged the truth of God for a lie. Ouch. They knew the truth, they had the truth, and instead they chose to trade that in and believe a lie. In Matthew 16:24-26, Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Whoever wishes to save his life shall lose it. See, if you're not willing to give your life to him, you actually lose your life. Whoever loses his life, turns his life over to me for my sake, shall find it. What would you benefit if you gained the whole world, everything it has to offer, but you lose the salvation of your soul? See the exchange? You can go after the world and everything it has to offer, or you can lay down your life and say, Lord, I'm going after you. You notice the exchange there. Let's turn to Titus 2 if you want to follow along. The others I just read real quickly there. Titus 2. That's right before Hebrews. That's not a book that we're in every day, maybe. Titus 2. So we're going to see a new word here that we don't too often use. And we're going to talk about that word a little bit. Okay, verse 11. Titus 2, verse 11. And we're going to read to 14. For the grace of God has been revealed, bringing salvation to all people, instructing us to turn away from our godless living and sinful pleasures. Instead, so again, we have a choice. So we can go after godless living and sinful pleasures, or instead, we should live wisely, righteously, and with devotion to God, while looking forward with hope. Are you looking forward with hope? To the appearing with glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, now listen, to redeem us from every kind of sin, to cleanse us and to make us his very own people who are totally committed to doing good. Totally committed to doing good. So the last time I heard the phrase redeem is back when I was growing up. Mom used to collect S&H stamps. You remember those? And you got the book at the grocery store. See, now I'm really aging myself. So all you younger ones are going, I have no idea. So when you go to the grocery store and you spent, back then you could get all your groceries for $30. I mean, you only earned $50 a week, but okay. So $30. And you get your groceries, and you came home with an empty book and some stamps. And I would help lick the stamps and put them on the pages. And you could fill a whole page with little individual stamps. Or every now and then, you might actually earn a big one. And I think it only took like 5 of those to fill a page. So then you'd put one of those in. When you got that done, you could be really anxious to spend your money, okay, like some of my girls were growing up. Or you could be like Becky and save it for 8 years before you do anything with it and then trade them all in at one time. I had one daughter, if she got a quarter, she spent a quarter. If she got a 50 cents, she spent, yeah, we won't say who. So you got your stamp books and you maybe saved up 6, 8. Then you actually got in a catalog and you could go and redeem that for that pot you've always wanted to cook with in the kitchen, right? And it's like, well, that didn't cost me anything. I just redeemed my book. Okay. So this word redeem is a little bit different when it's talking about what Jesus did. It means to loose, to break off, to destroy by paying a price. Now remember, we've already discovered we didn't pay the price, did we? Jesus paid the price. It says he redeemed us from all wickedness. So he said, okay, I'm paying the price to redeem you from all wickedness. And instead, now watch this, instead you become my own children. Wow, what a transaction that didn't cost us anything. We just have to choose to surrender. Galatians 3. No one is justified before God by the law. Yay. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. That's because he hung on the cross. He redeemed us in order that we may receive the promise. When he redeemed us, that made us eligible for all the promises of God. You and I have been forgiven such a large debt. 1 Peter 1:18 and 19. You and I know that we were not redeemed to save us from our empty life with mere silver and gold. So Jesus didn't do it with money, right? He did it with something much more precious. With mere gold or silver, which can lose its value, but we've been redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. Come on, is that true? You don't all look real happy about that. I expected to see some smiles and some amens and some thank you Jesuses, right? You're allowed to do those here, okay? Right, Sharon? So Jesus bought us freedom. Freedom from the law and freedom from the penalty of sin. How exciting is that? That's the transaction that he made. Romans 6. Sin is no longer your master. See, at one time it was our master and we had to obey it. For you no longer live under the requirement of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. Is anybody excited about that? Okay, okay. Come on, church. Once you were slaves of sin, now you are free from your slavery. Yay! Someone else paid the price for you and I to be free. Now we have to choose to live in that freedom. We can choose righteousness. We can choose to do what pleases and honors God with our lives on a daily basis. We have that choice now. We didn't before because we were slaves of sin. Now we have that choice every day. Galatians 4. God sent his Son in order that he might redeem those who were under the law. Okay? Who used to be under the law? We did. Okay? I only see two hands. You realize you were under the law until you realized that you could be under grace. You were until you realized. That we might be adopted by his very own children. So think about how amazing that transaction is. Not only did he set us free, I mean, wouldn't that have been exciting enough? No longer slaves of sin, no longer under the law. We now have a relationship with him based on grace and what he purchased for us at the cross. So that'd be exciting enough. But he says, no, I actually want to adopt you. I'm going to choose you and make you my sons and daughters. I'm going to make you part of the family of God. So we're all related. We're all crazy relatives. Okay? All part of the family of God. Same way with the other churches in Newville. They're part of the family of God. So we're related to them. Come on. That exchange and that transaction changed you and I from being a slave to sin into children of God. He bought us freedom, then chose to adopt us into his family. We now belong and are part of the family of God. So what we're going to do is, I think a lot of us came with a prayer need today. I don't know why, I just think we did. And I think the Lord already met some of us in worship, but I think he wants to meet us again, meet us more. He wants us to trade some things today. So Ashton, if you can bring that song up, we're going to do that in a minute. So I'm going to clear the front. And if you came today with a prayer need, I want you to be honest and I want you to be brave. And I'm not going to ask you your prayer need. I'm just going to ask you to come up front. You can stand, you can sit across the front row, but we're going to come up front, we're going to say, okay, Lord, I'm giving you this situation. I'm giving you this need. I'm giving you my worry and anxiety about it. I'm giving you my depression. I'm giving you my frustration, my hopelessness, my despair, my discouragement. I'm giving all that to you, and then just say, what do you want to give me? And receive what he says he wants to give you. I think he's already made some exchanges, but I think he wants to do some more transactions with us today. If for no other reason you come forward just to say, I'm so grateful that you paid the price, that you redeemed me, that you came and set me free from being a slave to sin under the law, and that you made me part of your family. All right? So church, let's come forward and just spend some time with them.
Sorrows, I'm trading my shame. I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord.
Yes.
I'm trading my sickness. I'm trading my pain. I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. We say, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, amen. I'm pressed but not crushed, persecuted, not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed. I am blessed beyond the curse, for His promise will endure. That His joy is gonna be my strength. Though the sorrow may last for the night, His joy comes with the morning. I'm trading my sorrow. I'm trading my shame. I'm laying them down for the joy. Yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, amen. We say, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes. We say, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. We say, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, amen. Not crushed, persecuted, not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed. I am blessed beyond the curse, for His promise will endure. That His joy is gonna be my strength. And though the sorrow may last for the night, His joy comes with the morning. I'm trading my sorrow. I'm trading my shame.
So let's make sure we've done a divine transaction today. So, Father, we come into your presence where we know we are welcomed, we're invited, we're expected today, where we can confidently come before your throne of mercy and grace through what Jesus did for us by his death and resurrection. And as we come there, we picture what our situation would look like in victory. We're picturing it in victory. And everything that I am carrying that doesn't look like that, whether that's discouragement, fear, anxiety, hopelessness, disappointment, I give that to you now. I give it to you. And you so freely take it from us. You want to make these kind of divine transactions. So when I hand you that, I do so with hope of what that victory will look like. Yes. Believing you to do the fighting for us. Yes. Because you're the same God that did the impossible. Over and over and over. And we say, do it again. Do it again. Make a way where there seems to be no way. Release provision where there doesn't seem to be a way. Part the sea. Move the mountain. Bring the giant down. In every one of our situations, we're saying, we're believing you to do the battle with us and move us forward into victory. Yes. So we receive what you want to give us today. Whether that's joy, whether that's hope, whether that's faith, whether that's peace, whether that's healing, restoration, deliverance, whether it's joy. We receive what you want to give us today. And that's what we go out with. We're leaving hopelessness with you. We're leaving depression and discouragement and anxiety and sickness with you today. And we're only leaving here with what you've given us. We thank you that you redeemed us, Jesus, that you set us free from slavery to sin. You set us free from being under the law. And we now serve you out of grace and relationship. We now are your sons and your daughters because you've adopted us into your family. And you're such a good father. And you always want to hear from your sons and daughters. You always want what's the best for them. You're always cheering us on and encouraging us. Do that as we leave here today. We thank you for all that you bought us through Jesus Christ. And the church said, amen, amen, amen. You're dismissed. Have a great holiday weekend.